we're going to get spanked. Interesting point that you brought up, and I think we've talked about this before, but that the Minnesota Wild didn't make a profit until they got past the St. Louis
Blues. According to Charlie Walters, Pioneer Press.
Yeah. So how is that even possible? Because going to a game, the tickets are not cheap. They're super expensive. I mean, I'm a big fan of beer, as Superstar knows. He's got to do his best to keep me away from those so I can...
It's a shame. I just have to keep you upright.
It's the God's honest truth.
Trying to keep you just standing up.
It's like $8, $9 to get a beer. It's not like that, you know, there's a salary cap. They're right up against the salary cap, so it's not like they're spending a ton of money. What is going wrong? It seems like they're sold out almost every single game. They're the hottest ticket in town when it comes to professional sports. How can they not turn a profit? That's ridiculous.
Probably TV money. It's just that, you know, Minneapolis-St. Paul, probably 16th or the 14th largest market, depending on who you ask. You know, that's where Chicago has the advantage, where New York has the advantage. I understand.
It's not like they can spend more money because they have more TV money.
No, that's true. I'm saying it's harder to turn a profit, I think, at that point. And like I said, I mean, it's everyone's on the same level. Like, Chicago spends as much virtually as the Wild. The Wild do have some cap space. I think about 8 million, and the way I see it is, I don't think they should blow up the team. They may have one big trade. Now, that's really hard to orchestrate in a cap league where who wants Vanek right now? And do you trade the cap? If you trade your captain, that's a big statement, and that's in some ways a slight to Mikko Koivu, right?
Yeah, I don't necessarily know that they need to trade him. If they can trade him, I would absolutely do it. He makes a lot of money, and I don't know that anybody wants to take on that contract, but as Soup and I were talking about earlier in the show, as soon as we started the show, the first thing I would do was go up to Mikko Koivu, nice enough guy and everything. I would go rip the C right off of his chest right then and there and give it to Zach Parise.
The
first move I'd make.
You know, the thing with that, I've always felt with captainship, is that that should come from within the locker room. So I think they need an honest evaluation where, the players can say, hey, we don't like his leadership or something like that, or we think we should have Parise, or we think we should have someone else. But I think with that, sometimes that's judged by the media because it's who you talk to. And keep in mind, there is a language barrier with any Finnish player, any player that's not American, right, or Canadian. And I think the other thing, too, is that you have or Swedish, rather. But I think that the other thing, too, is you have fans who say, well, his play is declining. And I think you can have a third-line guy who's a two-way player who does the right things with the puck, who is a good leader. Keep in mind, like, Mikko Koivu, that last quote I have in my story is from immediately after they lost. Zach Parise couldn't say anything, and this is not a slight to Parise. He's always out there. He's usually articulate. He does take losses very hard, took this series, I think, upon himself, especially because he was the guy in St. Louis, or in the St. Louis series, who stepped up and scored that big goal, and he's a two-way player, and he's Captain America, all that stuff. But it's Koivu who really took a step back, had a hard question where people were saying, should there be change? And a lot of that change would be remove the captainship, possibly trade someone he likes.
Sure, but they need a fire starter. I was watching the game last night going, you'll better be yelling at these guys, ripping them a new bung in between periods, but just because of the way that they're playing sloppily. And all season, all we hear about is, oh, there's a little bit of a problem going on with the Minnesota Wild. Mike Yeo's going to change up the lines again. Constantly changing up the line, changing up the line, changing up the line.
I'll tell you right now what's going to have to happen.
More burgers?
Koivu, and more burgers, too. You know what? There's one thing about leadership in the locker room, but the one thing that you have to have the most is a guy that's leading by example, too, and that's the captain. I mean, the captain's got to be a guy that holds it all together on the ice, too, when you get out there. Like, these kids would believe in him a lot more if he was doing better on the ice, which you clearly state he's slipped off a little bit.
Or a lot.
Yeah.
And in the locker room, that's one thing. That's one part of it, and not the most important part. Out there on the ice, when the you-know-what hits the fan, and that guy's keeping it together, and then proving that what he's saying, he's doing as well. I think that's important.
But Koivu's a really nice guy, but at the same time, we talk about Kevin Love in the Minnesota Timberwolves. He always wanted to be the captain and thought that, because he was the best player, he should be the team leader. But
Kevin didn't have that. Kevin didn't have the locker room.
Two completely different things. And like you said, I think that Mikko Koivu isn't necessarily that guy. He was never really that great of a player. I mean, he was a good player on a terrible Wild team when he first got here.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at his stats, and he followed that line of, and I should have maybe made it a little more clear in the story. Like, forwards tend to be 23 to 28. That's when they're the most productive. And then you kind of get sporadic production from them after that. Now, there's exceptions. I mean, Jagr's still in the league, and he's like 40. But, there's guys who in their 30s, I think Parise will be one of them, who continue to produce. That's why I'm not giving up on Pominville. But especially your snipers. And then Koivu, he did have that kind of 20 goals. He would have the assists early in his career, and unfortunately on very very bad teams. And I think, to your point, I mean, I think you can lead by example on the third line. You know what I mean? But you have to be that guy. You have to be hard-hitting. You have to be energy.
You have to be the most solid player on the team. Yes. You don't have to be the best. You have to be a solid player.
Like play hockey right.
Play the game and play it right and know the rules and regulations and what the tell a kid, that isn't enough. We need more out of you. And I mean, the captain of your team has to be Captain America. I mean, he just has to lead.
That's a lot of it. And it would be interesting. It would be a very aggressive move to trade Koivu as part of a package. Probably someone would want the young players. And I go back to, be careful giving away these young guys because...
Don't give away any young guys.
Yeah, I mean that's my thing though. Is that's who they're gonna want. They're not gonna want Koivu. You know what I mean? That's not. I mean,
or Vanek.
Nobody's
gonna want either of those guys.
And now the thing with Vanek is, you know, who knows what you got left in him? You could probably salvage him. He's gonna be a kind of a big cap hit for a salvage project. But he's got to show us in the beginning, you know, first 15 games of the season. Hey, I can still score. I mean, I think he has to do that next year.
And he said that in the quote that you had in your article. He said, I know I can score in this league. I should have tonight. I could have done more tonight, but I didn't.
Well, on that breakaway, you have to bury it. I mean, that's the bottom line. Or make it. I mean, Granlund had that one breakaway where I was like, Crawford just got him. I mean, that was just a good play by Crawford. It was good, solid goaltending. Yeah. But that with Vanek, it just looked like such a sloppy play. And you have to keep in mind, he still scored 20 goals. I think it's just you expect more out of him. You expect him to kind of pace Parisi, right? You expect him kind of be with him because Parisi's not a pure goal scorer. He's a two-way player, a lot of kind of junk goals.
And that's why he's the captain of this team, too.
Thomas Vanek, all he does is supposed to score, but yet all he was doing is passing the puck. He wasn't even really taking shots because... Yeah. As our guy Mark Parrish said, well, he's in a kind of a funk, and so he's just looking to pass and try to.
You don't have confidence anymore. Mark Parrish said that.
Yeah.
He said, when it comes to you and you're supposed to be the guy that takes a rip at it, he passes it instead.
Stupid.
And that's when he's not confident with his shot.
I don't care. We're paying you to take a rip at it. We're talking to Tom Schreier. Unbelievable article. Really one of the best I've ever read in my life. And it makes the best hamburgers, too.
Great
Minnesota
burger.
Wild.
Great
age gap and why Fletcher should keep the team together. Cold Omaha at 105theticket.com. You also are co-host of the Wake Up Call. Cold Omaha, Sunday mornings from 8 to 10. What do you have coming up this weekend?
So a lot of hockey talk, obviously. We're going to talk about Bill Simmons. I don't know if you saw that. It got fired.
Yes.
I mean, essentially fired by ESPN.
Wanted $6 million or something like
now,
that.
Now, they're saying his market value, I think he makes about $5 million. That's what the New York Times was reporting. So they were just saying he has a lot of, like, 30 for 30 is a great project, doesn't make money. Grantland's a great project, doesn't make money. And the ways he kind of makes money is kind of just by being goofy. He's on the air, remember, like, not, he's in a, like a sweatsuit and like a, you know, unshaven. And he's always taking them on. And I think at a certain point, ESPN's getting to a point where I think they're like, yeah, with some of these guys, you're good because of where you are with ESPN, and you have to respect that. And if you don't think so, then go do your own thing. I think you guys love Bleacher Report. I could see him there with the Turner affiliation because they split it with ESPN. I could see him going to HBO and having his own show and kind of doing his own thing there. That would be very interesting. You know, CBS, Fox will take a run at him. Fox Sports One, you know, they're trying to compete with ESPN.
We'd love to have him on CBS Radio, too. That'd be great.
That'd be phenomenal. And he'll end up somewhere. He'll do well. This is kind of it's a kick in the rump. This is a little bit of to do this in May when his contract's up in September, big deal. So, yeah, we'll talk Simmons. We'll do, I mean, there's so
you
much going
Simmons
on.
Simmons on the show?
No, we'll talk about Simmons. That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Bill Simmons, if you want to come on our show, contact me, tschreier3@gmail. We'll talk a lot of that. And then Dave Schwartz will be on. Twins, call up Buxton. Sam Gordon, one of our basketball guys, kind of a basketball guru. Be honest.
Nice.
So we have a lot going on. It's going to be a very fun
sounds
show.
Like it. Sounds
cool,
like
man.
It. Thank you.
Sunday mornings.
A pretty good chef, too, at that.
Great
great burgers. So hats off to Tom Schreier from Cold Omaha. Up next, we have an interview that we had earlier this week. When was it? Monday or Tuesday?
Yes.
With TJ.
I believe it was Wednesday.
It was Wednesday?
I think so.
It was
Wednesday.
TJ Clemmings, number 68. Your new number 68 for the Minnesota Vikings. We're going to give you that interview again. It was so good. People were asking for it, so we're going to play it again next.
On Deck Radio with Pete Wagner and former Twins Gene Larkin and Al Newman.
Dan, glad.
What do you see that Molly's trying to do to implement his way of doing things?
Well, I think the first thing that jumped out is, you know, Molly's kind of the quiet messenger, whereas Guardy, I think, wore his emotions more on his sleeve. You know, I think Molitor's more the calm guy. I think the guys kind of respond to that a little bit differently.
Tune in On Deck Radio, Saturday mornings at 11. Wall-to-wall baseball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
With the 11th pick of the fourth round, number 110th overall, the Minnesota Vikings select TJ Clemmings, tackle from Pittsburgh. Go Vikings!
He played extremely well as an offensive tackle at Pitt in games, went to the Senior Bowl, got undressed. Why? Because he's only been an offensive player for 2 years. He's very raw from a technique perspective, so he went from a borderline first-round pick into the middle of the fourth round.
And I just want to say that I saw every bit of what I wanted to see when I saw TJ Clemmings, his highlights and everything else. I study them after they get drafted, and I want to go in and see what kind of Christmas presents we have to move in here. Played 9 years here. I bleed purple. And I saw this guy show up in the fourth round. I don't know how in the hell we got him in the fourth round, but we did.
I remember coming over to your house on Saturday to watch the Manny Pacquiao-Floyd Mayweather fight, and I had this video all ready to go on my phone saying, I had jumped in, I said, we got TJ Clemmings, and I showed you the video, and the first thing you said was his feet.
Unbelievable.
Wow, his feet. We did a little chest bump. We are excited to have him on the Minnesota Vikings.
We're excited to have him on the air right here at Radioactive Sports. TJ Clemmings, hello, sir.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Doing relatively well. I've got a weight problem, but I'm getting on a diet, and I'm hoping to be able to get it under control within the next year or so.
Okay.
Information.
You asked me how I was doing.
Hey, you gotta take care of yourself.
You have to pay attention to everything you put in your damn mouth. Apparently, in my case, you're an amazing football player. To come from basketball and then to the defensive side of the ball first. When did you play football? Your first year of football was when?
It was my junior year in high school.
Okay. Wow. And from that, what most impresses me is you went from defensive line to offensive line in just 2 years, picked up all that offensive playbook, and you're a sponge for technique already as an offensive lineman. I can see it in your feet and your hand placement, everything else. You have picked this up so quickly. I mean, I love having you here.
Yeah, man. It was a bit of a challenge. I mean, you know, but I had help, you know, with my coaching staff and playing under Jim Huber at Pitt, and you know, my mentor and technique coach Jay Caldwell. I mean, it wasn't something I would definitely did on my own. I wish I could, you know, take all the credit, but you know, you need help along the way, and I was able to get help from my position coach and Jay, and it was just an amazing ride. You know, it wasn't easy. It was not easy, but. Mm-hmm. You know, looking back, I'm glad everything turned out the way that it did.
But perseverance creates character, and you're full of that, and we're glad to have you on the Minnesota Vikings. We're talking to TJ Clemmings, the fourth-round draft choice, offensive lineman out of Pitt, newest Minnesota Viking. My first question for you is, can you play left guard? Have the Minnesota Vikings talked to you about playing left guard? That seems to be really the only hole on the Vikings' offensive line as we see it right now. Or are you you're pretty set at staying at tackle?
Well, this is the thing. I want to play. So, you know, if Coach Davidson needs me to, you know, slide over there and try it out at left guard. I've never played guard before, so I don't know. But if he needs me to, you know, go over there and try it out and, you know, get a feel for it, I'm definitely going to do that. So it's not an issue to me. It's something I'm open and willing to do. So.
I think that as long as you can put your left hand down on the ground and come out of that left-hand stance, which I think you can. You're a defensive lineman. You've got athletic ability beyond belief. You can see it in every highlight. I watched a whole game of your offensive reel, that is, and you look good on every play, just running down linebackers and then running over linebackers, and just playing and just some of your sets from a wide angle rush. Just a quick set and a short set where you just jam them right there at the line. And I was impressed, TJ. For me, it was the most exciting part of the draft. I thought the priority going into the draft for the Minnesota Vikings was to pick up an offensive lineman, a big horse offensive lineman that could man up and give us some relief, the left guard position being vacant and Teddy Bridgewater being so good. We just need him to be protected. You're my guy.
Oh, awesome, man. I mean, hey, you know, I want to come in and help this team and make an impact. And, you know, that's my goal. That's one of my goals. You know, it's funny to me because, you know, I'll be blocking for Teddy now, and I have a picture It's actually online of when I was playing defense, and I believe he was at Louisville.
Oh, yeah.
And I had switched inside the three to play a three technique, and Aaron Donald had went outside to play defense and then. And, you know, I made a good move off the guard, and I almost sacked. Teddy. And you see the picture where he got away from me at the last second. So, you know, when I get a chance to meet him, he probably doesn't even, you know me or remember me, but, you know, I'm going to show him the picture. And, you know, hopefully he gets a little kick out of it.
That's funny. I'm sure he will. I mean, I'm sure he will. I would pin that up in his locker. And I'd say, Teddy, you got to trust me. I'm on the other side of the ball now. I'm with you. I'm here to protect you now. But I would pin that up somewhere.
I hope he finds it funny, but, you know, yeah, that, you know, coming in, man, I really want to learn the system, learn the offense, you know, learn my new teammates and, you know, build relationships and really come in and get ready to work and get to work, actually. You know, it's been a long time since, you know, all of us, everybody in the draft has really been able to, you know, put a helmet on and some cleats and, you know, run around and do actual football things. There's been a lot of traveling, a lot of, you know, meeting with coaches, combine, you know, seeing all these different things, man. So now it's time to really, you know, get in and get back to, you know, what we all love to do, which is play football. So I'm excited about that.
I can hear it in your voice. I can tell you love the game of football just by the way you talk. Your foot, we know why you slid down. People get over precautious, I think, sometimes of past injuries or whatnot. Can you explain what happened to the foot and why we're so lucky to have you all the way down at four when you should have been probably somewhere in the first round? But the foot was something against you. Do you want to talk on that?
Well, I mean, you know, the best thing I can say about the foot is that it's not a concern to me.
Okay.
I've never had any issues with it. And, you know, I can't explain everything that goes on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But all I know is that, you know, people say I fell all the way down. But I just know I went to the right team. You know, that's how I look at things. Like, you know,
wow.
So the Vikings wanted to pick me and they wanted me to come on the team. And in my heart, I believe, you know what, TJ, regardless of what rounds you went, you're at the right team. So, you know, I my foot is not an issue. I'm not concerned about it, and, you know, I'm ready to go.
Talking to TJ Clemmings, the newest Minnesota Viking, taking in the fourth round, plays tackle out of Pitt. The superstar Mike Morris and I were at the office on the patio on Friday before the Twins game last Friday as the second and third rounds were about to start on SportsCenter. And we were talking about who the Minnesota Vikings should take in the second round. If Eric Kendricks was going to be there, I thought the Minnesota Vikings should trade back and grab him in the first round. They ended up grabbing Trey Waynes. It was between Kendricks, Can out of South Carolina, and you. We couldn't believe you were there in the second round. And then so for us to get together on Saturday, the next day, to have you come to the Vikings in the fourth round, we're just absolutely ecstatic to have you. But is it true, and we talk about what kind of athlete you are, that you were recruited by Duke to play basketball and football?
Yes, it is true. I was actually, you know, going through my old college letters with my dad, and Duke was my first college offer that I had for football. And, you know, when you open the letter and you read it, you know, it says, you know, we want you to come to Duke, blah, blah, blah. And it says, you also can play basketball as well. You know?
Wow.
So, you know, I don't even remember how I, you know, took that, but, you know, it's pretty cool to know. Listen, I had a scholarship to go play football, and I could have played basketball at Duke as well, but, you know, like I said before, I mean, everything works out how it was supposed to, and it's cool to have that in my back pocket and say, you know what, I couldn't play basketball at Duke.
Yeah, no kidding. We were bragging about it all day yesterday. And Matt, I mean, did you ever have a conversation with Coach K down there, the historic Duke basketball program, and obviously to play football, which is what sounds like your true passion, but to be able to maybe even, well, if you were playing basketball, you would have won a national championship with our guy from Apple Valley this year.
You're right. You know, it would have been cool. It would have been cool, but, you know, at that point, you know, I knew basketball wasn't going to be my thing anymore, and you know, football was just a new route. So, you know, national championship basketball could have been would have been great, but you know, better things are happening. So. I can't be too mad about that.
I think you chose the right sport, young man. I definitely can see you being around here for a long, long time. The general manager here, Rick Spielman, has had two great draft classes now back to back, we feel. And to have you show up in the fourth is just another sort of way of proving how brilliant he can be in the fourth round to have, I mean, to have you. I think it's a great pickup. I'm happy that you're here. And by the way, I know you're going to be a good player because you're going to be wearing my number, 68. So that, I think that I wore that number for 9 years.
Nice.
Yeah, you might want to dust it off. And I've been told that it was banned at one point. So maybe you can have it reinstated in the league. But congratulations. Okay. We love having you here. We want to have you on the show more often. And you're the biggest part of the draft for me. That was the most exciting part, was getting you from Pittsburgh.
Oh, awesome, man. Thank you for having me. And I'm happy to be here, man. I'm happy to be a Minnesota Vikings. So well, it's awesome.
Thank you, TJ. And wear that number 68 proudly now. You hear me?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely,
man.
And,
okay.
And get used to saying Skull Vikings, because that's what we do up here. Skull Vikings, let's win the game.
All right.
TJ Clemmings, everyone.
Thank you, TJ.
Unbelievable. You, it's going to be a good
I want to be that guy's best friend.
Yeah, it would be good to have him walking around with
God,
you.
God, I love that guy.
You don't have to worry about it. He's funny. He's sharp. He's a good athlete. My God, he can play football. He can play basketball. He can play D-line. He can play O-line. This is the right guy. This is the right guy. Spielman does good on this.
I want to see him score a touchdown at some point and then slam dunk the basketball over the field goal of the post, just like Jimmy Graham does after he scores.
You know he could.
Of course he could. Of course he could.
So that's fun. When you get a player like that, and they have the personality, and that you can tell what he is. The character is there. You can hear it. You can feel it coming right through the radio at you. So I am pretty impressed with him. I literally have watched over an hour and a half of just sitting there watching him play. It's worth it.
Passionate sports talk. 105 The Ticket.
To me, those balls are perfect. I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls. Loving the balls. To me, those balls are perfect. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin, and some guys like old balls, new balls. They're all different, so you gotta feel them, and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. I juice the balls that I want. You know, I grip it, I grab it, I feel the lace, I feel the leather. I wouldn't want anyone touching the balls. I would zip those things up and lock them away. Some days one ball may feel good, the next day it may not. I want to be very familiar with the equipment that I'm using. This is an ISIS. No one's dying, but this is a very important thing. Because to me, those balls are perfect. I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls, loving the balls. To me, those balls are perfect. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like old balls, new balls. They're all different, so you gotta feel them, and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect.
I've handled dozens of balls.
You gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You gotta feel them, you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You know, I grip it, I grab it, I grab it, I grip it. To me, those balls are all perfect. Zip those things up, zip those up, and lock them away. To me, those balls are all perfect.
Like I said, I had no... Yeah. I've handled dozens of balls.
Uh-huh.
I think that whoever does those...
Isn't that a great song?
That is pretty... That's pretty talented to be able to put that together.
Tom Brady.
That's pretty funny. And we know now that he's going to be suspended for sure. That will take place probably at the top of next week. That is a given. The commissioner said he's going to be suspended. We don't know for how long. That remains the question.
Well, I think the interesting point is from the New York Daily News, where that information came from, saying the NFL is convinced, according to sources, that connecting all of the dots of the evidence supplied by the Wells report leads to one conclusion. Brady cheated.
Yeah.
The feeling is that the Wells report supplied Goodell with enough ammunition to suspend Brady, both for breaking the rules by ordering the deflation of footballs and by not cooperating with the investigation when he refused to turn over his cell phone to Wells investigators.
That's for my money. That's when he was doing himself in at that point.
Yeah.
You can't have my phone. No, we're not going to look at that. The other guys had to do it.
Well, the other guys had.
But they had phones supplied by the team. Apparently supplied. They were issued by the Patriots to these two workers. One was an assistant equipment guy, and another guy was just someone that watched the locker rooms on game day, apparently. Yeah.
Interesting. So 651-989-9105. What are you thinking about this whole Brady thing? What do you think he deserves? I'm thinking six to eight games. I think is what the consensus is from most of the people that think that he should be suspended. I said six games. I want to say earlier in this week, and I remember you saying, really? I mean, Adrian Peterson, domestic abuse, didn't even get six games. Well, this is the integrity of the league. And so he was speaking last night with Jim Gray at Salem State University. And so he answered the question. Just listen to this, and then tell me your thoughts, okay? So here is Tom Brady last night at Salem State University.
I don't have really any reaction, Jim. Our owner commented on it yesterday, and it's only been 30 hours, so I haven't had much time to digest it fully. But when I do, I'll be sure to let you know how I feel about it.
So smart.
When do you plan to address this publicly?
Hopefully soon.
Why not now?
A process that's going forth right now, and I'm involved in that process, so whenever it happens, it happens, and I'll certainly want to be very comfortable in how I feel about the statements that I make.
So since those statements right now will speak for you, and you don't want to get into the details, how are you handling this controversy? Is it bothering you?
I've dealt with a lot of things in the past. I dealt with this 3 months ago before the Super Bowl. I dealt with a lot of adversity over the course of my career, my life. And I'm very fortunate to have so many people that love me and support me.
Reason why is because he's at Salem State University, which is in Salem, Massachusetts, where they had the witch hunt. The Scarlet Red Letter or whatever. And they don't read a lot of books, obviously, but that's why they were cheering him. Anything that that he would say, they're like, oh yeah, well look, way to go, Tom Brady.
And he egged him on. I mean, he was looking for that. He was campaigning there. You said he's looking at becoming a politician someday, or running for office. That was a pretty good indication right there that he is pretty good at that already, is that he literally turned a negative into a positive by letting the crowd get behind him. How are they cheering for it? Now, look, the way they handled Greg Hardy, the way they've handled Adrian Peterson, Ray Rice, that's one thing, and that's away from the field, and that's in the court of law. Mm. Then we find that Greg Hardy comes back, and the NFL says, you know, you're not done yet. We're going to hit you up because of the integrity of what you've kind of done, and with our own personal conduct policy, 10 games for you. 10. I want to see how this stacks up. I want to see how this stacks up to take the game and make the game more advantageous for you to throw the ball. You're the guy. You're Tom Brady.
You're the
all
MVP
world.
Of this
you're
Super
everything,
Bowl.
And you're the one doing this. I think they really do have to throw the book at him. I definitely think it should be six. I think, and that's a lot. Yeah. And that's keeping him off the field. Or if it's eight, it's half a season to the Patriots with Brady on the bench.
I love it.
And then it comes down to what's his name from
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Eastern Illinois, right?
Yeah, the thing that is so odd to me, and there are so many odd things in this story about Tom Brady and Deflategate, he doesn't need the ball to be deflated at a certain, under PSI, there's supposed to be 12 to 14, and he's been playing with 10 and a half, 11 because it feels more comfortable. He doesn't need that. He proved it in the second half of the AFC Championship game. I think he threw four touchdowns. He proved it in the Super Bowl where it was very closely scrutinized.
Very.
And he was the MVP of the game. He doesn't need to do, why is he doing this?
I don't know. That like this really hurts him. I mean, the fact that he thought he had to do this and actually was pulling it off for a long time and involving other employees there with the Patriots and bribing them in. Of course, they don't make as much money. They're probably the lowest on the totem pole over there, the guys who man the stadium and the locker room. And he paid those guys off in cash. He hooked them up with some gear and some shoes, it sounded like, from the texts. You can't, I mean, how do you prey off people like that for your own well-being? And then you don't need it.
Because you are the MVP of the league, you're the MVP of the Super Bowl, you're making all this money, you're married to a supermodel that makes even more money than you do, you live in this mansion, you're basically the king of football, the prince of football, whatever you like. He is not held accountable for anything. And I thought Bill Polian, who we love, I think he's just brilliant,
he is brilliant.
The former Bills, Panthers, Colts general manager said, This is not running through a stop sign. This is not speeding 5 miles over the limit. This is a serious competitive violation that has to be treated as such by the league.
It does. I think it does. Now, to what extent? They said Greg Hardy, 10 games. You're going to sit 10 games. Jerry Jones kind of felt it was going to come to that even before he signed Greg Hardy to the team with Dallas. So what will they do to Tom Brady? How long will he have to sit? How long will they have to put the Patriots? You want to talk about the greatness of Bill Belichick? We're going to find out now. If he sits out 8 games and Belichick can run 5-6 wins until he gets back on the field, we'll find out how good Belichick is at that point.
Yeah, it'll be so interesting.
Because that'll be the first time without Tom Brady.
Another thing in this New York Daily News article about the upcoming suspension from Tom Brady that they say is likely and likely to be announced next week. This is Tom Brady. 4-time Super Bowl champion, 3-time Super Bowl MVP, husband to the world's most famous supermodel, and at least to this point, everything Goodell wanted representing the NFL shield. This is the guy, Roger Goodell, absolutely, and why wouldn't he? As the commissioner of the league, and I disagree with almost everything Roger Goodell does, and for Tom Brady's dad yesterday and for Tom Brady's agent yesterday to say this is a witch hunt by Roger Goodell and the NFL to come after Tom Brady. There's no evidence of that. They've been suckling at Tom Brady's teat forever. This is the guy, the cleanest cut guy. This is the John F. Kennedy of football. This is the guy that everybody looks at and is, he wins. He's beautiful. He wears the great clothes, got the nice hair. He's got the nice smile. He went to Michigan, middle America, 6th round draft choice.
He's a Cinderella story, too. I mean, he didn't just get that. He went out and earned it, so he became the kid that persevered and made good on an opportunity when Bledsoe went down. And, by the way, has found a way to get the Patriots into 6 Super Bowls in whatever. It's his 15th or 16th year. And he's won 4 of them and should have won the other 2. And just 2 freak plays took him out of it.
Goodell has to be just, and he's not dead, but I mean, rolling under his desk, because this is the last thing. He obviously probably, you know, as Roger Goodell doesn't want anybody in the NFL to get in trouble or cause, I mean, this is a bad pun, a black eye for the league.
Right.
But Adrian Peterson, the best running back in the league, indicted last year. And then the Greg Hardy deal, Ray Rice. I mean,
these are great players.
Worse. Just keeps getting worse. And then Then Tom Brady.
That's the kingpin.
So it is interesting, and I think you brought up a great point, too. What does Roger Goodell do here? Does he go extra hard on Tom Brady because he knows that the media is going to jump all over him if they don't think that it's the right suspension?
And how hard is it going to be because the Patriots are like his boys?
Yeah, or is he going to go light? Or is he going to go light on Tom Brady because the Patriots are his boys? He's basically Robert Kraft's little poodle, little lap boy, does whatever Robert Kraft wants him to do. He's always at Robert Kraft's house putting on some party or this or that.
AFC Championship game party. And the NFL commissioner shows up at that one. He didn't show up for the NFC one, though. Mm-hmm. Seahawks.
No, of course not.
But he showed up at the AFC one. Yeah. He's the commissioner of the league, by the way.
No, he showed. That was the AFC Championship game party. So
yeah.
He showed up. Were the Colts even there, is my question.
Probably not. It was at Kraft's place. It was like Robert Kraft.
Roger Goodell. As dirty as I think that he's been, come on. You're being so.
He didn't do anything with Seattle. There's another side of this league, you know. He kind of shows his favoritism.
Of course,
that's all I'm saying. That you can read him. He's an easy read, I think. But that's just the way it is.
6 games.
Yeah. You think 6? I think at 6, I was thinking maybe not as much. But now I think 6.
Yeah.
And it's just because of everyone behind that whole Patriot thing. It's all smoke and mirrors, and they're just as bad as everybody. So hit him up, and don't go light. That's what I'm saying. We're going to come back. A sillier side, a sillier brand of sports, and, of course, my true superstar next.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McMurray's locked in the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series heads to Kansas Speedway for the SpongeBob SquarePants 400. Live racing under the lights beginning Saturday at 5:30 p.m.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I've handled dozens of balls. I have no explanation for
what happened?
Hell no.
Soup!
Hell no. N-A-H, nah.
Still your side of sports. I got a couple of doozies for you.
Well, let's just dive right into them.
All right. Want the best first?
Save the best for last.
No.
Go now, then. Just feel it out.
Retired former Major League Baseball player and Red Sox ace Pedro Martinez. Remember, he's the guy that threw down the old guy.
Sure did. And he made fun of Burke and I.
Pedro Martinez?
Yeah, he came out and we were singing. We were trying to sing the seventh inning stretch. And Pedro came out and put his hands over his ears and muffled his ears.
I don't blame him.
And looked up at us.
I don't blame him.
And they made ESPN.
That's funny.
Maybe
it's Sports Center.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, he has a new book out, and it's everything a fan of the Dominican hurler would love. If you're into Pedro Martinez, you should get it. He stopped by The Late Show on Tuesday night to talk about his new book. It's called Pedro. And an ever-fascinating Pedro told this awesome story of Manny Ramirez putting Viagra in a pregame shot of liquor. Martinez tells the story of Manny creating this concoction of Mama Juana, which is a Dominican herbal drink consisting of roots and spices along with honey, red wine, and gin, and 300 milligrams of Viagra. The hell is that for? To go out before a game and play.
As they were saying, you know, when he got busted for PEDs, it's just Manny being Manny. I mean, are you kidding me? A bunch of guys walking around with boners.
While they're out on the field.
What's wrong with him?
How much is 300? I'm trying to look up.
I don't know. I mean, I would think it'd be quite a bit. Of course, it would
order
be
Viagra.
Diluted down, I'm guessing.
Order Viagra. Here you go.
All right.
There are three choices of the pill Viagra that you can get.
All right.
100 milligrams.
Okay.
50 milligrams.
50.
Or 25 milligrams. So he's basically having
three of the big knockers
of the big ones in there before a game.
I don't know how much he mixed in it to dilute it down. Let's just say that everyone got stiff quick.
How was he not walking around with a huge wood out there at the big green monster in left field in Boston?
Now, did he just drink this, or did he serve it to everybody?
I don't know. I'm not positive.
Because that's a problem right there.
Yes,
if he's going to serve that up as part of his little pregame festivities.
That would be hilarious.
You don't want to walk around with a Johnson.
No.
It's just like don't. Trying to play baseball. I mean, get the bat on the ball, but
that's something completely different. That's, I think, stupidity. Pun was intended. Charlie Sheen, he's not a doctor. I don't know if you know that.
I don't
doesn't
know
even play
that.
One on TV or in the movies.
I don't know. Did he stay at a Holiday Inn Express, though?
But for some reason, TMZ or everybody will ask him questions about everything. And now he's talking about Tiger Woods lately. He was out to a movie, and he said he knows why Tiger Woods hasn't returned to prominence playing golf.
Oh.
He said the issues with Tiger aren't mental, it's more physical, insisting that the tooth wasn't the only injury. Remember, he had the knocked out tooth from Elon?
Right.
It wasn't the only injury he suffered that fateful night when his ex-wife in 2009, when she took golf clubs to his Cadillac.
Took a 7-iron to his car.
Yeah. According to Sheen, who should know everything about everything,
I
because
think
the guy's on cocaine
this.
Constantly.
Well, yeah, he gets in a lot of trouble with all of his wives.
Woods' vision hasn't been the same since Elon tried to beat him down with the golf club.
Okay.
That's
all right.
That's the reason why he hasn't been very... Not his back. It's his vision.
Okay.
Why would Charlie Sheen know this?
Where does this come from?
What source
does he have? Tiger can line up a putt. It's not his eyes. Tiger can swing at a golf ball. It doesn't take real good. I don't think it takes a lot of eye vision, that is, to strike a golf ball. You just have to look at the damn thing, keep your head down, and make sure you don't look up too soon.
Yeah.
But, I mean, really.
I know.
Someone's got a spot for you out there. I mean, they'll tell you where your ball is. I don't know.
Keith Olbermann has joined the growing chorus of critics asking for Tom Brady to be suspended. Olbermann wants Brady banished for an entire season.
Okay.
16 games. Olbermann put most of the blame on Brady's handling of the situation, believing, like everyone else, that Brady makes things worse by not being up front, by not answering the questions. Here's Keith Olbermann, quote, "They should suspend Tom Brady for a year. They should suspend him for 24 hours for messing with the ball inflation, and then suspend him for 364 days for being stupid."
That's fairly harsh. For being stupid, I like that, though. I mean, and that was dumb for Tom to come out and handle it that way. And then to have a sneer on his face and almost poke fun at the whole thing. And people are really coming to get me for this, for deflating footballs. Is this really? He almost poo-poos the whole situation. You know, I mean, he almost laughs as he's talking to that crowd in Salem, Massachusetts yesterday. It's almost like he's laughing.
Oh, he was. He thinks it's a joke because he's gotten away with everything in his entire life. He walks on water and he's not going to have, he thinks he's going to get away with this scot-free. It's almost like, you know, Michael Jackson or O.J. Simpson or these celebrities that are unbelievably rich and people, you know, think that they're the greatest thing since sliced bread because they're rich and they're famous and they can get away with everything. Then they break the rules, they get caught, and they don't think that anything's going to happen to them. Almost like an Aaron Hernandez, too. I mean, he didn't think he was guilty either. Dude, you killed people.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, we don't care if you're a pro football player. You're probably going to go to jail if you kill someone. I think he did think he was getting off.
I know he did.
It's unbelievable. Now he's on suicide watch.
He was shocked. Randy Gregory, thank God he's not a Minnesota Viking. He was high on the draft board for quite some time until the Minnesota Vikings found out that all he does is smoke weed. Got in trouble twice in Nebraska, tested positive at the NFL Combine. He's a Cowboy now. But today at Valley Ranch, Texas, out there with the Dallas Cowboys, a little rough for Randy Gregory. He had to leave Cowboys practice. He was having a hard time running sprints.
Oh.
And he puked all over the field.
So I guess there was just a lot of campaigning trying to get in to the NFL. And now that he's signed and sealed, he now reveals to everybody he's not in very good shape.
No.
And he smokes a lot. So his lungs are probably taking a hit.
It's hard to be in shape when all you're doing is sitting on the couch smoking weed and eating Funyuns.
Yeah. He's probably that or it's like pork rinds.
Yeah.
So he's a great athlete. I can't imagine him being sick off doing the sprints.
Man, well,
but
a video.
Hey, there it is.
There was a video. You know, that's true.
That guy can roll, though. If they get him in shape, he'll be in good shape.
Oh, I'm
he'll
sure. Be he's, good gonna, he's probably going to be. If he can lay off the pot, he's going to be a pretty good
athlete. Yeah, you got to put down the dope.
Interesting weekend. Twins baseball, and that's really about it. I mean, no more Minnesota Wild, no NFL draft, no Kentucky Derby, no Manny Pacquiao,
no
Floyd Mayweather, no Timberwolves, no...
No Vikes.
No Viking.
It's coming. It's just around the corner. But, so, I mean, we can just concentrate on baseball now, which is a good thing for us, because now we can spend more time with Mike Berardino.
Oh, great. Enjoy the weekend, my man. It's supposed to be nice tomorrow. Sunshine 75, I think. Sunday, maybe a little rain. It gets cold next week in the 50s.
That should be nice.
But I love you to death. Have a great weekend.
Likewise. Thank you.
Kiss your beautiful wife. Say hi to your awesome kids. Put your dog in a headlock for me. I love that guy.
I love that, man. Sherlock will get some. I'll give him a big hug for you.
Love
big squeeze
guy.
Hug. I'm going to rough him up when I get home.
Okay.
We have a true superstar. To finish out the week, Army Sergeant First Class Matthew I. Leggett. 39 years of age from Ruskin, Florida. Died August 20 in Kabul, Afghanistan. Injuries received when he was engaged by the enemy. He was assigned to headquarters and headquarters battalion, the 18th Airborne Corps out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Army Sergeant First Class Matthew I. Leggett is my true superstar for the day. Remember him in your hearts and your prayers, please. It would mean the very most to Radioactive Sports. Have a good weekend.
In the Kolkogren, where for many men have gone, lay me down in the Kolkogren. Many men have gone. When
Pure Sports Talk, 105 The Ticket.